With so many new listeners, I thought it'd be fun this week to revive some of the early episodes from the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. So this week, we're going to do a little throwback, and we're going to revisit an episode called 5 Ways to Create a Fulfilling Life. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy this throwback. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. And there's a reason that I created and host this podcast. It's for you. I was in your shoes. And for those who don't know, I want to give you a little background as to how we got here and why we're here. There was a time in my life when I was a sports entertainment publicist at the NBA, the National Basketball Association. I had a front row seat to all things spectacular and entertainment. I managed everything from red carpets at the NBA All-Star Games to exclusive shoots with shows like Jimmy Kimmel live during the playoffs. But somewhere in between, I started to wonder what's next. I started to feel unfulfilled. After eventually quitting, I was determined to get my first manuscript published. With no prior publishing experience, I bet on myself and won. Within 4 months, I had a deal in hand with Simon & Schuster to publish my debut novel. After making a split decision, I drove all of my belongings down the stoop of my third floor walk-up building in Harlem and set them outside for what I called a stoop sale. After that, I bought a one-way ticket to London. Exactly 11 months later, my first novel was traditionally published and released nationwide, and I'd had the experience of a lifetime living in hostels in London, rooming with complete strangers in shady council housing flats, getting lost among the canals of Venice, and trying to avoid capture by the Royal Palace Guards in Morocco. That was the start of my journey to a drastically different life, my own switch, pivot, or quit. I hope this show serves as encouragement and inspiration for you, showing you what you can do when you block out the demands of what others think you should be doing in your life and go for what truly feels good to you. If you're not already following us on Instagram, that's where we always play, and be sure to get down with us over there, and you'll find us at Switch, Pivot, or Quit on IG. And definitely don't miss out on checking out the switchpivotorquit.com website, because there's even more goodies over there as well. And now, let's go ahead and get into the show. So today, we have a little something special. We have a special guest joining us today, and we are actually going to be talking about 5 ways to create a fulfilling life. So we have Sable B, Ms. Sable B of Real Brown Girls. She is the founder of Real Brown Girls. If you are not familiar with Real Brown Girls, definitely go and check them out on Instagram, and that's just at Real Brown Girls. So today, Sable's going to join us, and we're going to be talking about 5 ways to create a fulfilling life. We're going to give you our tips and our tricks and our insider conversations about the way that we think that you can revamp things to create a fulfilling life for yourself. So welcome to the show, Sable.
Hi.
All right, so if you guys have been listening from the very beginning, you'll know that Sable is not new to the show. She is a friend to the show, and she was on a previous episode. So we're just going to pick up sort of where we left off and just chat how we chat and let you guys know what we think about what you can do to be more fulfilled in your life. And isn't that right, Sable?
Yes, let's get this party started.
Exactly. All right. So our tips. The first tip is retwerk your relationships, okay? So when we say retwerk your relationships, we're talking about...
This just makes me laugh.
I know, right? Because it's like, you know, we need it to be relatable for you guys, okay? We know that we all have had points where we have allowed toxic people to be in our lives a little bit longer than we should have. And that the thing that we don't realize is that can set us back. Sometimes you have to invest in some time to reevaluate your relationships, you know, take note of the people around you that potentially serve you in positive ways and those that offer nothing but
negativity and distraction to your life. You know, one of the things that we sort of were talking about before before we got on live is to make relationships that you need to rid from your life. So literally sit down there and make a list of people that you're thinking, okay, you might be even in the least bit toxic to what I have going on right now. So I'm going to go ahead and add you to the list, and then give yourself some time so that you can process these people that you might need to rid from your life, and then start your activities or actions or however you want to do it to sort of lighten your load and get rid of these people, rework your relationships, right?
It sounds so trifling too. You're like, yeah, I'm about to get rid of you. But I think it's very important. It's funny that we're having this conversation because I literally had to break up with a friend a couple of months ago. It was very Love and Hip Hop style, let's have lunch, only with no physical fights and drama. I did invite her to lunch specifically, but it was just the idea of just recognizing that although I may love you and I may want the best for you, this is not working.
Right.
Like, we don't bring out the best in each other enough for this to continue. And it's like, I don't have to be petty and unfollow you on social media. Like, I can wish you a happy birthday or what have you, but I'm going to have to love you from a distance because I recognize that this is not healthy for me.
Right.
Like, if I have to go analyze every interaction and every text message and every conversation and reading between the lines, like, that's too much work. That's too much energy that you could be putting into something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we sometimes have trouble with as humans. We want to be nice to everybody. We want everybody to love us, all of that. But sometimes we outgrow people. Sometimes we outgrow situations. We outgrow relationships. We outgrow friendships. And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just that maybe the place that you're at in your life and the place that the other person is at in their life, those two things just don't overlap nicely anymore. So you gotta just do what you have to do and move on. And so
with family too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's really, when we say retort your relationships, it's really
all of them.
All of them. Yeah. So the way that we're going to do this, too, little side note, is we're just going to talk about it in general, and then I'll give you my tip, and Sable will give you her tip. So my tip in this space for retorting your relationships would be the energy that you surround yourself with, that will always impact your life. So make sure that it's positive energy. We may think that, oh, it's not that big of a deal, and you might not be all into the energy and all of that, but just know that when you have negativity around you, that will seep into you, and you'll find yourself reacting or taking on some of that negative energy. So that's my tip. Just rid yourself of that negative energy and make sure that you're surrounding yourself with everything that's positive.
That was so beautiful. And then here I come with my tip. I talked about breaking up with a friend. And I think in many instances, a lot of us, when I say us, I just mean women in general, will do that a lot easier than the tip that I'm about to say, which is break up with your back pocket lover. So when I say back pocket lover, I mean whatever individual that you're having this toxic on and off relationship that is obviously not platonic with, and they, you know, they're a comfort zone, but you know, like, you just know they're not good for you. You know this is not going to last. You're not going to get your white picket fence if that's what you desire. Let them go. So whatever it is that you really want in a romantic relationship, it will eventually come to you because you're not preoccupied by back pocket lover shenanigans.
There you go. So many of us have been there. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so on to our next tip. It is budget before you ball.
Yes. We got budgets, y'all.
Right. So we all want to feel financially free, right? But in order to create that type of freedom, we have to become planners first. So just as
Amen.
Much as we plan to spend obviously we need to plan to save. So with this particular tip, we're basically just saying set yearly savings goals and keep yourself on track with those goals. You don't have to be out in the streets like trying to keep up with everybody. Once you set these goals, you know what your priority is, you know what your mission is, and you might even want to set a goal not just for the budget in general, but a goal for maybe something that you want to be able to accomplish with this particular budget, because that might give you more fuel for just being very strict with yourself about creating this budget. The other thing is, you know, you never know what other people are doing. So although some people that you might see on the outside look like they're like balling and all of this other stuff, A, they could be using credit cards to pay for all this stuff. So now you're trying to keep up with somebody who's amassing a huge amount of credit card debt. Or it could be that they really do have it like that and you don't know their finances and they have the means to operate in this way and you don't. So now you're trying to keep up, but you're the only one going broke trying to keep up. So the main point is just do what is within your means and make sure that you're being aware of saving and planning for yourself. So my tip would be pay off your credit card bills at the end of each month. I had a friend in college that basically taught me this, and her dad taught her that. And it was like, hey, if you operate in that way, you're basically just borrowing the money for a couple weeks. You know, you don't let the charges linger and incur the interest. So that way, you are not basically paying them, you know, to let you hold on to this money for a minute. You're just holding on to it, and then you're jumping ship and giving the money back or paying it off, and you're moving on. And then it's no love lost. You know, you don't have all
the overcharges. Which is like a genius way to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really, that's probably the smartest way to do it, and that's sort of, I'm guessing, like maybe what the intention really is but then we find ourselves saying, oh, well, I have to pay this, so I'll wait and I'll pause and I'll pay it off next month. Well, guess what?
Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly. And now you owe them. Whereas before, if you would have just done it in a timely fashion like you initially intended to do, you wouldn't owe them anything extra. They just sort of did you a favor and let you hold a little money for a minute. So that's my tip.
So before I give my tip, I'm going to tell a story. It's a short story, I promise. So in 3 years of, let's just say, interesting life circumstances, I amassed $15,000 in credit card debt spread out between three cards. Mm-hmm. Before life happened, I had zero. But life happened and, you know, those numbers add up really quickly. Interest is a devil, right. But I didn't amass this credit card debt trying to keep up with folks on Travel Noir. So just to let y'all know that. But anyway, when we were like budget before you ball, I made it a mission of mine this last year, and by year I mean summer of 2016, so now, to pay it all off. So you know how many things I said no to because I had a goal in mind, like we're right. going to get back to zero. Like how many shoes, I still bought shoes, y'all, but how many shoes I left, how many trips I said nope. How many dinners I said, I'll pass, I have leftovers, because I had a goal. So when you do create this budget of yours and you do have your goal, creating it is the easy part. The amount of discipline it takes to stick to it,
right?
That's where everybody messes up.
That's the test.
But you can definitely do it, but you have to learn to like shut out the noise. Like Ayana said, you don't know someone's situation. Maybe they're using their credit card. Maybe they got it like that. But the fact is, you don't know. So don't try and keep up with other people. Don't worry about what they think about you, because you know your situation and you know your goal. So you got to make it work. That said, remember how I just mentioned I still bought shoes because I didn't deprive myself of everything? I have what I call treat yourself accounts. So it is separate accounts that could be allotted for different things. So I have a travel account, a regular savings account. I have a car account because oil changes and tires will always come. So it's not like a shock to the system when a mechanic tells you you need four tires. Mm-hmm. But with that treat yourself account, like each time I get paid, whether it's from my full-time job or whether it's from a client or whatever, I put money aside. So when I do see something that I want, I don't have to use the credit card. I don't have to tuck into my savings. I'm you know, reaching into my treat yourself account because it's constantly replenishing itself. Mm-hmm. So you can still enjoy, you can still travel, you can still go on trips and things, but you're using money that's yours, not money that you're going to borrow, and then they're going to hit you with that 27% interest charge at the end of the pay cycle. When you're budgeting, you can still have fun.
Mm-hmm. You just have to plan accordingly. And the other thing that I want to mention to you guys is if you're thinking about making a switch, pivot, or quit, you really need to be conscious of your budget because you need to be prepared for whatever it is you're about to embark on. And it doesn't matter if you're going from working in a corporate environment to potentially transitioning to being an entrepreneur, or you're just working in a corporate environment and you're pivoting to a different sector of the business or whatever. You just never know what can happen when you are making changes in life. So it's better to have that cushion and be prepared versus being not prepared and having money be a reason that you can't live out your dreams, try the things that you want to try, pivot, you know, switch, quit. You don't want money to be the reason that pretty much holds you back. You want it to be the reason that helps to propel you forward to make your dreams happen and do whatever it is that you ultimately want to do.
Basically, we want you to retwerk your money too.
Exactly. Exactly. So our third tip is to channel your inner Lisa Bonet. Okay. Now, for those unfamiliar with Lisa Bonet, Lisa Bonet was the star of A Different World and The Cosby Show as well. And she always had this, or even in
like
real
life. Yeah, this like carefree nature.
Yeah.
This looks like she never gets stressed.
Exactly. Like relaxed and zen. And we know, you know, in real life, everybody gets stressed at some point, but she seems like she has a great way of dealing and handling it. And so we're basically telling you, allow yourself the time to decompress, because that is essential to who you are and your well-being, especially as we go through day-to-day and trials and tribulations and things hit us from all different angles. You have to allow yourself the time to pour back into yourself in order to be a giver to others, a giver to life, to give your best day-to-day. And so you want to create an environment for yourself to relax, to be able to unwind, to be able to decompress. And you want to learn to regularly treat yourself in small ways that push that particular agenda of relaxation, okay? So it could be, you know, anything from going to a spa or whatever. It's just figure out what makes you relax and what makes you feel in your most zen moment and practice those.
And carving that time out.
Yeah.
Like, so many people don't carve the time out. And they're like, especially if you're on social media a bit too much, it's like, grind, grind, grind. Don't sleep. I'll sleep when I'm dead. And although that's a true statement, I'm like, not everyone dies old. Some people die young. So
yeah,
that statement is very relative in the context of time. Mm-hmm. So it's like whatever relaxes you, like Ayana said, carve time to do that out as regularly as possible.
Right.
So maybe it's not weekly, but maybe it's a spa visit monthly. You know, maybe it's your hair done by week. Whatever it is, it could be a walk in the park. I mean, I live in the Northeast, so when it's cold, I'm not doing that. But, like, I don't like to be cold. But whatever,
it's not
works.
A bad idea to, you, like you said, whatever works. Like for me, I'm on the West, so I have no problem after a day's work or even in the midst of a day's work. And let's say it's evening and I know I still have a few hours ahead of me, I'll easily drop everything and go for a quick walk just to clear my head, just to get some fresh air, be alone. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast or something inspirational or uplifting that I want to listen to. It just depends on what type of mood I'm in. But a good walk is a great way to just kind of zen out for a minute, just be alone with your thoughts and relax, truthfully. And you don't have, like I said, a good walk, a walk, We're not talking about a run. We're not talking about a fast walk. We're not talking about a
lightweight sprint. Oh, yeah, we're not running. Sprint. We're not exercising.
Yeah, it's not exercise. It's just a nice leisurely walk to give you some space, really, with your own thoughts. So, yeah.
Ayana is more active than me, so while she's walking and enjoying nature, I'm laying in the grass, y'all.
But I'll take my guy,
okay, right? But not during the eclipse because that hurts. But I'll take my little blanket, remember when it's warm, not in the winter, right, and just lay out. And sometimes I'll bring a book. But if I'm honest, I do more people watching than anything because it's very entertaining and relaxing for me because I create stories. Like I'm somebody, mm-hmm, Shonda Rhimes, about to like pitch this new pilot to NBC or something. Right. But whatever works for you is like carving out that me time. I feel like we've already given like 10 tips, but we need to give like our concrete ones.
Yeah. Okay. So my concrete one is to visit your local gym and go early, do like an early morning session and take advantage of when it's super, super quiet and maybe spend some time in the sauna and just allow yourself to relax because there's nobody, hopefully, there's nobody else around. You can just be with your thoughts. You're in that nice, warm environment. Get your body all nice and relaxed and loose and everything. And then you're ready to start your day. But the key there is going early. You know, go
yeah, I won't be there. You won't see me.
Yeah, I might not be there either, but the idea of it is good. And you know what? To be honest, though, I recently went to the spa, and I talked about this on the last 7 Minute Sunday podcast, and I went to the spa, and they had an awesome sauna and an awesome steam room. And when I tell you that my body was, like, glowing after.
You know me like a glow.
Exactly. And I purposely tortured myself and stayed in that steam room probably like 5 seconds longer than I should have, to where I had to pretty much run out because the steam was like burning my body. At one point, I was like, okay, this is not right.
That's not okay.
I was like, I see how people die in here. Like, you know, but it was worth the torture because I felt like I was releasing these toxins. And then I went back and I went into the sauna and I just felt like, oh my gosh, like this combination of this treatment to my body just is doing wonders. And then when I looked in the mirror, I was like, yes, girl, it worked. It worked. Your sacrifice worked.
Did you take a selfie?
No, not really.
Yes, come on. We're the new generation. You got to document every glow, okay?
I know, right? Shoulder on glow. Okay, so what's your tip, Sable?
So because I am the lazier of the two on this phone call podcast recording right now, I like to do things where I don't have to move too much. This sounds so bad when you say it out loud, but I'm being honest with you all. So sometimes I know for me that I hold a lot of things in, not intentionally, not on purpose, even though I'm very, very expressive when it comes to like frustrations or anything super emotional. I don't verbalize that too much, and especially not with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So one way to release that is I will tell people I am a sage burning candle lighting human being. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a lot of people on Instagram who are like super into astrologies and crystals and all that stuff. I'm into it, but I will not pretend like I'm somebody's guru because I'm not. I know enough that keeps me sane. But one thing that I definitely like to do is I'm a water sign, so I believe water does cleanse. So I will write out all my frustrations on paper. I will have all my crystals with a white candle in the middle burning while I'm writing out these frustrations. And I'll have cool water. The cool water is for the end. After I write out these frustrations, I'm talking 100% honesty. Nobody can hear you. Nobody's going to see this. You can cuss. You can fuss. You can do whatever you need to do. Write it out and in the end, burn it. Like literally release it. Let it go. Rinse your hands in the clean water because, you know, your hands held the pen that wrote out the energy. So you need to clean your hands and just blow out the candle and walk away.
Mm.
Like a lot of it just, it's the idea of just letting it go.
That's a deep process.
It doesn't mean that
Yeah, it doesn't mean that everything's going to change necessarily. It's just the idea of accepting what is and taking control over what you can take control over. And honestly, in most situations, the only thing that you have like 100% control is your response to whatever's happening. So it's the idea of taking ownership of your response and how you are handling it, not the actual it itself.
Preach.
Thank you, ma'am. And then the Lord said,
"Right, that's real though. It's like when we are going through our daily lives, let's say, because every day is not filled with mess, drama, trials, or tribulations, but when we're going through those days where we are challenged, like Sable said, that's something important for us to remember, is the only thing that we can truly control is our response and our reaction to whatever comes our way. It's like you can learn how to temper yourself to where certain things don't even bother you as much. And that's helpful to you and your well-being. It's not like you're doing a favor for somebody else that you chose not to curse out or chose not to, let them get under your skin or whatever. It's more so you're doing it for yourself, your own peace of
mind. Yeah, for your own sanity.
Exactly. Yep. So we also have a few quick action ideas for the DIYer in you. So a couple of them real quick is, number one, run a bath with your favorite moisturizer and rose petals. Then spend 30 minutes in solitude relaxing and meditating on positive thoughts. The other one is diligently massage and moisturize every inch of your body from head to toe, spending a minimum of 5 minutes on each main region of the body. And then the last one is give yourself a homemade facial mask. Now, all of these things will help you channel your inner Lisa Bonet. They'll help you get centered with yourself. They'll give you that alone and quiet time, because obviously you should do these things ideally when you have a little time to yourself. And it'll just help you in that journey and that quest to go deeper with yourself, to be okay with your thoughts, to understand your thoughts, to process things, to visualize things, and just go a step further than maybe you would typically go with your self-care and with your personal care.
Basically, we want you to do more than brush your teeth and wash your face.
Hello.
Okay.
Take a little.
We want
bit
you to do
time
those
with
things
you.
Too.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
So our next tip and if you're just jumping in here, which you shouldn't be, but if you are, for your 5 ways to create a fulfilling life, our next tip is go on that solo slaycation, okay? So if traveling alone scares you, we get it. But now's the time in life, because there's more ways to be connected, there's more ways to meet people as you go, all these different things. It's the time now to not be fearful, to put that fear aside, and to put your big girl panties on and go. Okay? No excuses. Book your ticket. Go. Because you probably have had this ideal place that you've been thinking of that you want to visit or you want to go to, but you don't have anybody to go with. And you're like, I really want to go, but nobody can go. Nobody can get the time off of work. Nobody has the money to buy their ticket. All these excuses. But if you are really trying to create a life that is fulfilling for yourself, you will do the things that you want to do and the things that you feel called to do, and you won't allow excuses to get in your way. You won't allow other people's excuses to get in your way. So this solocation is one big girl way to push yourself outside of your comfort zone and just go and just do it. And let's be clear, you don't have to go far, right?
You really don't.
Yeah, like we've all done like these local things where you just kind of get away and have some alone moments, and maybe that's that time where you actually implement some of the Lisa Bonet Zen things, the Zen tips. You can do that if you do like a little local getaway, because you can put some stuff, pack some stuff up in your car that you might want to take with you. It's the sage that Sable mentioned, the candle, things like that, and your rose petals candles for your bath or whatever. You bring that stuff with you, pack it in the trunk, the back seat, and then you just head right to a local, nice, beautiful hotel and enjoy yourself.
And I think that's important because if you, and I'm going to mention social media a lot because it's just, it's here and
yeah, it's
enough
our world.
People are on it.
Right.
Is when people think of a solo vacation, they always think of something super, super big
mm-hmm.
and exotic. Like, and she went to South Africa,
right.
and she was in the rainforest in the Amazon. Like, it's always something like she rode the camels in Egypt. Like, it's she was on a little canoe in Venice. Like, it's always something super large, and maybe your budget doesn't allow for that, or you're not there yet. Like, you can go to Miami, you can go to Key West, you can go, if you're in the Northeast, you can go to the Poconos for the weekend. Like, there's things that you can do that doesn't require 7 days and six nights of alone time. Like, you can work your way up to that.
That's what I was going to say. Work your way to a place where you feel comfortable taking an extended amount of time solo and going further. You know, at first, when you're just getting started, we're saying throw yourself outside of your comfort zone, but we're not saying throw yourself into the danger zone, okay?
We're not trying to kill you off. We want you to still be with us.
Exactly. So do what's within reason for you, depending on where you live and what is realistic. You know, like, I wouldn't say go camping by yourself. No.
No, ma'am.
I wouldn't say that.
Because
you know, I don't think that's
a
good
camper.
Idea.
I'm a camper, and I still can't put a tent up well by myself, okay?
Okay. So you might need to do something that's a little bit more low-key, but what we're saying is don't wait around for other people to make these things happen. And these might also be some of the best times for you to just get in touch with yourself and work on some of your personal development work. You might be able to take a good book with you and learn some new things. You might have some ideas because you have all this alone time. You might have some great ideas that when you get home, you want to implement. So just take advantage of the opportunity that you might have to sort of do this mini getaway for yourself and improve. And so my tip would be, like Sable said, you don't have to go, you know, on a safari or into the rainforest immediately. But once you've conquered the domestic and once you've conquered something local, then you go international, baby. Yes. And once you go international solo, you'll feel like an extremely empowered person and you'll feel like a freaking rock star. You will come back feeling like there is nothing that you can't accomplish because you've done this. And if this is something that you had to work up to, you had to do your little small mini vacation first, 1 or 2 days, maybe an hour or two away, and then you did something 1 or 2 days, maybe a flight away, a local domestic flight away, and then you work up to that big international trip, when you come back, you are going to feel like, what? Ask me something. Challenge me. Test me. Who won't come test me now? You know? You feel like you could do it all, right?
I wasn't ready. I feel like I can't give a tip after that. Like, you just dropped the mic and just, like, walked off the stage. Okay, I guess I'm let me find something real quick and deep, like Oprah on Super Soul Sunday. I wish I had like a radio voice, but seriously, I think that one thing that we all have to get over when traveling solo, and I'll be the first to tell you, I haven't traveled solo international yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled domestically solo, not internationally. I'm actually planning a trip for 2018, but remember, these credit cards, they don't leave to November, so I had to make sure that was right because I don't want to charge a trip. I've been tempted so many times, but I'm trying to
prioritize.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I was tempted before we started recording this podcast because I saw a flight bill to Italy. I was like, but you don't really care about Italy right now. Like, there's other places you want to go. So with that said, it's the idea of getting past your fear. Like, if you really think about it, since we're little, like, we're socialized, especially as women, to operate in a buddy system. Like, you don't go anywhere alone. Even when you were in school, you were lined up. You had a partner. Like, if you had to go to the bathroom, like, go to, you take a partner. Even you were super young in college, in early 20s, when you at the club with your friends, you still took a partner to the bathroom. Like, we're just socialized as women to have a buddy system, because we are socialized to fear the all of these what ifs, like what if this, what if that, as if this buddy is some, you know, ninja who could really protect you from danger.
Your
like,
personal bodyguard.
But, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really, you have this buddy system. The best she is a witness, because the, both of you might get got. But so I say all that to say it really does take a lot to reprogram your mind to say that I'm okay by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I'm smart enough to know, like, and to feel when something isn't right, and maybe I shouldn't go there. Like, maybe I shouldn't stay out late tonight or what have you. So when we're talking about traveling solo, a lot of it is just getting over the fear of being alone doing something. Like, how many people go to the movies by themselves or go to a restaurant by themselves? Like, people don't even want to go to a coffee shop by themselves.
Right.
Unless and they have a laptop for company.
Right. And so it's really also about trusting your instincts too when you're pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone to do something alone. And maybe it's just like you just said, maybe your first step is to go to a movie alone if you haven't done that, to go and eat alone if you haven't done that. Challenge yourself to do some of the everyday things alone, so then you can build up to actually spending the time away alone. Our last way for you to create a fulfilling life would be to double up your network. Double up, double up. So obviously this heavily plays into Switch, Pivot, Quit. And it's so funny because we recently had Dana Bolden as a guest on the show, who is a popular blogger and creative director and digital influencer, all that good stuff. And one of the things that she was saying that she thinks impacted how she was able to have major growth and become an in-demand influencer is her network and her relationships. And nurturing those relationships, as well as being open to new relationships. But one of the things that we want to talk about today is revisiting some of the maybe previous relationships that you had, some of the relationships that you may have neglected in the past, and create a plan for yourself as to how you can pour back into those relationships if you feel like it's worth it, that is. And invite potential estranged contacts, you know, out for breakfast, meet up for a midday coffee break, something like that. And when you do this, though, be strategic about it in that, you know, you don't want to waste time with this back and forth, because if this is someone that you haven't connected with for a minute, you don't want to play that email game or that text game of, hey girl, when are you free? Okay, let's do that. Okay, no, I can't do it. Okay,
now let's go. So accurate.
Yeah, and then you like look up in a month pass. Exactly. And you know, I think everybody knows what it is when you play that game too long. It's just not going to happen. You guys are not going
to
meet up.
And not only are you not going to meet, you're not even going to talk to each other, because it's this awkward, it gives the illusion of this, like, insincerity when you might have actually been sincere initially, but it just, for whatever reason, it's just not happening. Like, someone's scared to commit.
And you know what? If you come direct with somebody and just say, hey, girl, been thinking about you, want to reconnect, are you free next week? And then she says, oh, yeah, I'm free. Or you say, are you free next Tuesday? And you start giving specifics. People
like concrete dates and times.
Yeah. People like and respect when you're direct like that, because it also shows that you value your time and you value their time, and you're not interested in wasting anybody's time or effort, and you are sincere about making an effort to connect, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of the when are you free?
Yeah,
and
then
I just forget. Like, I'm like, oh, snap, we were supposed to connect. But then I'm like, I don't even remember why I wanted to connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
And or it just, it's weird.
Right. Or if you leave it too open-ended, then it's like somebody's waiting for the other person to respond. Then, like you said, you remember, oh, shoot, we were supposed to connect. We were supposed to meet up. Then it's like awkward to start revisiting the conversation because you guys really didn't establish anything in the first place. And then it just falls by the wayside and it's lost. It's just done. It's just out there.
It's just dead.
So you might as well make some direct concrete actions and attempts initially so that you can make it worthwhile for you to have even reached out. And so my tip that I would give would be the more that you freely give of your time and your resources, the more that others will be drawn to you and want to give to you. So the more that you make yourself available to meet up with people, to even if you don't see that you'll get anything from it, you're just being sociable and things like that. The more that you do that, the more that when people call you and have a quick question and stuff like that, the more that you give of yourself, the more that you're open to that, the more that you will receive those same good vibes back. People thinking of you in a positive way, people thinking of you to offer you up for opportunities and different things like that, that maybe wouldn't have crossed your path had you not been such a pleasant and polite and available and useful and helpful person to them in some way.
I think that's important, the giving of information, resources, ideas. Hey, I thought of you when I read this. Did mm-hmm. you see this? A video link.
That's an easy way.
Article.
Yeah, that's an easy way to keep the conversation. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And build mm-hmm. rapport.
Right.
And I think the building rapport is important whether you are trying to revitalize an existing relationship or you're trying to grow a new relationship and actually build one to begin with. It's the idea of building rapport with people and sharing with people before asking for things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that would be my tip. Stop asking for things when there is no relationship there because it comes off. It doesn't come off genuine, and then people start questioning, why do you want to be in my space? Is it because you only want to take?
Yeah.
Or what? So when you just give, whether it's, like she said, resources, time, and time could be a quick email with a link. Like, time doesn't have to be these extended conversations on the phone and text message threads that go on forever. It could literally be an email. When you give of that, it makes it easy to build that rapport, to actually build that connection, to grow that relationship. So when you do have a request, someone will fulfill that request without thinking twice about it. Or when they see something that would be perfect for you, or they know something and they're like, Ayana is the person you need. You don't even have to ask them for anything. They'll connect you on their own,
right,
off the strength of your relationship.
Right.
And I just feel like these days in social media and everyone's trying to just build something of their own, we're forgetting that human beings like and thrive off of relationships and connections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
in genuineness and not feeling like nobody wants to feel like they're being used. Like you never,
not
that's
at
never
all.
A good feeling. So you don't want to make anybody else feel like that any more than you want them to make you feel like that. So just keep that kind of stuff in the back of your mind.
And if it is an old relationship and who knows, you know, if it was a coworker that you were really close, but sometimes when you switch jobs and you don't see someone daily, the contact just falls naturally, or people get married, people have children, like things just happen. I think one thing that's also, I guess this is like tip part two, mm-hmm. is it's okay to just say like, hey, thinking of you, or I miss you, are you free for a chat? Especially if it was someone that you spoke to regularly.
Right.
Like, I'm thinking of you and I miss you. Can we connect? Is a lot better than just like these random like, hi.
Okay, so I know that we gave you guys a lot of tips ultimately, but just to recap, the five main tips that we wanted to drill home would be retwerk your relationships, number one. Number two, budget before you ball. Number three, channel your inner Lisa Bonet. Number four, go on that solo slaycation. And number five, double up your network. So, any last thoughts? Any final thoughts, Sable?
Write this in your, like, to-do list, your plan. Like, however you organize yourself, add this stuff in there so it just becomes part of what you do. That would be my only last thought.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I love it. We'll leave it there because I think that's a good one. And it just, this just all ties into working on you, making you a better you, and realizing that you have the power to take control of the life that you want to lead. And if you want to create a fulfilling life for yourself, it's only up to you. You have the power. You make the choices, decisions, you make the actions or the inaction that will cause whatever reality you want to be. So thank you so much, Fable, for hanging out with us today. Thank you for helping me create these tips and talking us through it. And look forward to having you on the show again. As always, you know it's fun.
I just want to go, ow.
All right, you guys, thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, keep killing it. And real quick before we go, if you enjoyed this episode or any other episode that you've listened to of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast, be sure to head over to iTunes, give the podcast a nice review, say some kind words, or say what you really feel, say what you really think. Give us a star or five or four or whatever it is. But just make sure that you head over there and show love, because that is the only way that I will know that you are into the podcast and you're appreciating it and you're liking what you hear and letting me know to keep doing more of what we're doing. So, like I said, always keep killing it and enjoy your day.